Welcome, everybody, to the Security in 45 show. Today is December 11th, 2024. I'm just going to go ahead and do this, even though it's corny, but ho, 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 welcome to the show. As you can see, we got four Santa Clauses on the show with you today. On this show, we, of course, cover a new security topic every month in 45 minutes or less. We've got a Christmas-themed presentation today for you. We'll be talking about segmentation, foundational segmentation, something that needs to be in every network, regardless of size. And tomorrow, you will see the things we're talking about in practice in a real dashboard. So kind of a two-part show here. Andres, what can you tell us about our guest Santa Claus speakers? Also, while we're at it, did you get your Christmas shopping done?
I'm still working on that. I'm probably going to be last minute like every year. We were talking about that earlier. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody relates to that. But no, today's show is going to be awesome. It's going to be on segmentation. We have Chad and we have Sam. We had him before in previous shows. And these guys are awesome, super knowledgeable about segmentation, identity, and ICE Duo and things that just help a lot. And basically what we're going to do is just talk about proper segmentation from a high level overview of what it is, how we do it. And as you mentioned, Mike, we're going to have a quick demo tomorrow showing everything related to segmentation with some products that we do have that can do segmentation. So with that, I guess I will give it to you, Chad, and then Sam to introduce yourselves if you want.
Awesome. Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Chad Bowie. I am a solutions engineer here at Cisco. Been with Cisco for 11 years, coming up on year 12, this coming January. So started on the CX side of the house, started in the lab, working in a lab, racking and stacking, building recreates for tech engineers. From then, I moved on to a tech role, supporting the ICE solution on the AAA team. Was there for a number of years before coming over to the sales side of the house. So a little bit more background about myself, but glad to be on the show today. I know I've worked with you guys on a daily, but to share the stage with you guys is just special. So thanks for having me.
Glad you're here.
Cool. Hi, everyone. My name's Sam Baxter. I'm a solutions engineer here at Cisco as well. So I've been at Cisco going on 10 years now. During that time, I started working in professional services. So I was in CX on the opposite side of the house as tech, where Chad just mentioned. And then I moved into pre-sales. So in the past years, I've been focused primarily on dual security and Cisco's identity ecosystem. Worked with these guys in the past, and it's a pleasure to receive the invite to come talk to you guys today. So really looking forward to the conversation.
Awesome. That's great. Looking forward to it as well. Some of the best Christmas presents I've ever had is just the knowledge you guys have helped me out with when it comes to segmentation, ICE and Duo things. So thanks for the early Christmas present on that. Guys, let's talk a little bit about when it comes to segmentation, the terminology, basic principles, maybe like foundational knowledge. What can you tell us about some of the terms that we hear and need to know about, and kind of just some high level basic principles of segmentation?
Yeah, I can jump in. So yeah, basically segmentation, there are a lot of different ways to segment a network, segment your resources, but from my understanding, it's really taking the network, dividing it up into different segments. And then within those segments, you can start controlling those with more granular policies. But at a high level, segmentation is going to allow you to isolate assets from one another. And there are a couple different ways and ways you would apply segmentation. So sometimes you'll think about app to app communication. You can think about user to app communication. But it's really just how can we create smaller pockets within a network? If there is some type of risk or if there is a breach, how can we limit lateral movement So thinking about the east-west traffic and then also north-south. So Chad, do you have anything you want to, expand upon your understanding of segmentation?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Segmentation is just that, dividing your network up. And a lot of times when we talk segmentation, it's more in the security perspective. But there is a networking side to it in terms of like performance when it comes to segmentation. Kind of sucking up bandwidth is important in terms of networking performance, especially when it comes to like video and voice traffic, which is another reason for segmentation. Putting that voice traffic on its own domain, while keeping the data separate, to avoid any issues like with this WebEx right now. Of course, we have to separate that out to get the best performance. So a lot of times as security guys, we're thinking of the security aspect. This user can't access this resource, or this application can't speak to this application, but it does expand out in terms of network performance as well. But yeah, segmentation is just that, and you can get pretty crazy with segmentation. Of course, like traditional ways of segmentation would be like the VLANs and VRFs and having your access control list. But that's just pretty much like the start of it. From there, we can get it super granular. So yeah, that segmentation, dividing your network up and adding some security around it, but also increasing performance.
How about RBAC? We hear that term a lot. What are we talking about there?
And Mike, that's a good question. And this is something that came up when I was in the office a few weeks ago, is just your understanding of RBAC. A lot of times when I think of RBAC, and those of you unfamiliar with RBAC is role-based access control. I always think of like administrative duties, like within an application, if you have an analyst that really shouldn't be involved in making configuration changes, but want to go in and look at logs, I think of RBAC policies, like making sure that they're not able to mess anything up, but also get the information they need. While you have the administrator that should have full rights into a system, but it can ex that's not the only use case for RBAC. It also can apply to network access. But just curious to think what comes to mind when you guys think of RBAC.
Yeah, I think of the admin use case as well. I think my time within Duo kind of helped me understand specific application use cases for RBAC. So maybe there's some type of application that has a billing component or something that users shouldn't be able to see. So from the end user perspective, like obviously the admin is going to set the policy, but I think about it both ways now, but I think since we're always configuring from the admin side and we're always in the dashboards, that's why we typically will think about the admin use case.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I always look at it on the two different ways. I know it's easy, like for example, some of the things that we're configuring will be related to role-based access control. And then if we take it up a step further, I think it's going to be every role in the company. So it's segmenting that, I think. That's my point of view, I think.
That's great. How about this term, micro segmentation and macro segmentation?
Yeah, I could jump in that one. From the macro side, typically, just segmenting your network based on different zones. You might have, like Chad said, with like the voice side, you have a voice VLAN and then you have a data VLAN, right? So just segmenting those, it's going to be a more broader approach. And then micro, as in the name, right? We're able to segment applications or segment workloads down to the individual components of that workload. So if you have like a database component in an overall microservices application, you can start controlling who can access that database component. Maybe only the front end can talk to the database and not the user, portion. So micro segmentation can go a lot further than that, but those are just a few examples.
Cool.
Yeah. And I think that's a great question, Mike, because that comes up daily in conversations that I'm having with our customers is how to go about implementing micro as well as macro. Of course, I guess start with macro and then from there fine-tuning things. It's important to understand the difference between the two because there are specific use cases that each can take advantage of.
And I like that you brought up where to start. And I know we're going to ask you guys a little bit later about recommendations on where to start with the topic of segmentation. But yeah, that's a good call starting with the macro. Andres, you're muted.
You're muted,
Santa.
Mute monster, got you.
I'm back. No, I was just alluding to the fact that we have a lot of terminology on this section, which is pretty cool, and I really appreciate that we're breaking it down. One thing that I will add that I've seen over the years is that segmentation in, let's say, for example, think about the VLANs segmenting traffic and things like that, but it actually completes the story once you start applying policy. And I know we're going to talk about a little bit about that in a few, but I have the next question is, what have you guys seen as far as the evolution of segmentation compared right now to 10 years ago? What do you guys think?
So when it comes to the evolution, based on my experience coming from my background and working with the identity services in ICE, I see the transition from performing dynamic segmentation, whether that's with dynamic VLAN assignments. So having that static configuration on a switchboard or the static configuration on an SSID, but being able to take that user into account and that machine that user's logged into account and be able to put that session on a different VLAN, whether that VLAN, that new VLAN restricts them or actually allows access to them, which again, it's a lot that goes into that as well. When you throw into things like compliance, is this a vulnerable endpoint? Of course, if it's vulnerable, then we want to make sure we put it in a quarantine VLAN. But that dynamic VLAN assignment and being able to dynamically change the access that machine has, whether it's applying an access control list, is pretty much like the evolution I've seen. This is a journey that customers are still on and providing an easy way to implement segmentation. Again, with having those static configurations in place.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, I see a lot of the movement to the cloud. So, you know, obviously with the shared responsibility of the cloud for customers, you have to implement your own policies, ensure that you're segmenting the cloud just like you would do on-premise. And then, you know, from the old networking, the protection for old networks, right? We had inherent trust for what was within the gates or within our network. So I think that's changed a lot with the cloud migration. And then with the cloud piece, right, there are different constructs. So now you have strategies for like VPCs and you know, keeping certain workloads from talking to others, and then also allowing that outside access based on the business requirements. Also, something else we're seeing is segmentation of certain apps, being able to control segmentation using the kernel. So it could be the Linux kernel, could be using Windows. So using those host firewalls is a technique that we're seeing. And also, for the application segmentation, there's also agents that are in use. So there is a lot of different ways to achieve the micro segmentation, but those are just some of the things that I've seen recently.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the cloud environments, just because that's something that I'm continually ramping up on, getting familiar with the VPCs, the VNets, depending on the cloud infrastructure you're in, just because that's segmentation in itself, having those segments within that cloud environment. So I'm glad you mentioned that, just because that is on the rise.
Yeah, a lot of times, right, those environments will talk to each other, or you'll have like, you know, private clouds or hybrid private clouds that talk to your public cloud. So we'll get into this a little later, but you really need to understand the traffic flows and do some dependency mapping, right? Understand what are my apps actually doing. But yeah, that's another topic when we start talking about the visibility as the first step.
Yep. Excellent. Yeah, get visibility and then trying to map it all together, maybe trying to reduce the complexity and understanding of it as much as possible. And I know Sam and Chad, you alluded to that coming up towards the end of the conversation. Segmentation, you know, initially when I was first learning about segmentation, I kind of thought of it as a like something you do up front, like a proactive approach. But then, you know, you start thinking about like, well, is segmentation more of a reactive benefit as well? Would you guys say it has proactive and reactive components?
For sure. Both proactive and reactive. The proactive side is plays a part in kind of like this whole trend of zero trust within your environment. So being sure that me, when I'm on a Cisco network, I don't have access into the HR records. And then also on the opposite side, making sure an HR employee doesn't have access to the engineering resources. So that's the proactive side of it. But then you have to be reactive. Like Sam mentioned, whenever there's a threat or even just like suspicion of a threat, being reactive, whether that's manually or automated to quarantine that device or apply an access control list, if that's what your quarantine looks like, is on the reactive side. So it all starts with the proactive, every network starts flat. So it's the engineer's responsibility to segment those sections off and apply security around it. But then also just stop that lateral movement on the reactive side.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Chad. Yeah, obviously the proactive side, understanding the types of devices, the types of users, that ties in with the role-based access control we talked about earlier. Making sure that you're operating from a least privilege. So when you're designing a policy, to make sure that least privilege is in mind. And then from reactive, there are tons of different ways, right? You might want to do like a change of authorization if we determine there's a vulnerability on a machine, putting someone on another VLAN, right? Just being very dynamic based on certain attributes that you're seeing on that endpoint are, you know, some ways. As to achieve that as well.
For sure.
Yeah, I think about that decrease the blast radius for the reactive, you know, like something does happen, it'd be great if it's contained, you know, so a good reactive.
Yeah, and everyone's trying to automate those things now, which makes sense. I mean, meantime, the detection and responding is critical. It can be critical. Again, I would say the traditional way is the manual intervention, going into a system and manually segmenting or quarantining an endpoint. But a lot of times that's not good enough. Once something gets in and starts spreading, that happens quick. In the networking world, things happen fast in terms of traffic. So it's important to have those automations in place.
Yeah,
multiple ways to do that as well, you know.
Time to reaction is critical. And like these attacks are happening much quicker than us humans can respond. So yeah, you're right. I couldn't agree more about having something automated to perform that reactive segmentation if you need to.
Yeah, that was good. It always, there's always an element of where, when do we react? So that's always good to know. Now, building up on those things that that we started talking about, where we get started, we also want to know, and if you guys don't mind going over this, is where do we start enforcing the segmentation? And I know in some cases, depending on the architecture of what we're implementing, it's going to be different. But what do you guys think we should know where it gets enforced?
That's a good question. So going back to where things start, like if we were to look at like a flat network and you start to build your segments out, your different VLANs, from right there through routing and access control list, we can start doing some segmentation enforcement. What VLAN can talk to what, and I think that's a good place. And going back to my CCNA days, that's what we were taught as the basics of networking. When you start getting into different segments, and going back to like the evolution. From there, I mean, we have the zone-based firewalls, as Sam mentioned as well, being able to enforce segmentation at the firewall level. And we know there's different places you can place a firewall. You can place it inside your network to monitor that east to west traffic. Of course, you're going to have a firewall at your edge for the north-south, but there's segmentation being enforced there. And then again, going back to the my ICE experience as it relates to software defined access, that's when we can get pretty granular. So of course you have your VLANs, but doing that inner VLAN segmentation. So the devices that are sitting in the same subnet, we can take things a step further with using group based policy, which opens the door to multiple enforcement points. At the access layer, your switches are enforcement point. Your APs are enforcement points. So there's different ways to enforce segmentation, and everyone does it differently. There's some people that do it the same in terms of having, of course, a firewall in place to do some segmentation, but there are others that organizations that use access control lists on the switch ports, session-based access control lists to enforce segmentation. So it's a mix, and it's really finding which segmentation enforcement model is best for your organization.
Yeah, just to expand on that, I think it depends on the assets as well. So if you have like highly valued assets, you can start segmenting those, right? So doing that zone base will probably be an easy win there. You know, something that a lot of organizations are using is APs with the guest network, right? That's technically a form of segmentation, right? And we can start layering security controls on top of that, you know, some of those segmented networks. But yeah, like Chad said, it's multiple ways. If you want to control it at the network, it depends. If you want to allow that user to even get to that application or get to that resource. So a number of different ways to achieve, you know, the same goal. Some are easier, some are more difficult. But, you know, if you think about like dual security, right? You know, there may be an application that you have on premises and all your users can get to that app. You can easily segment users from even being able to log in, you know, coming through the front door using like group-based or identity policies. So that's a form of segmentation, and that's going to be an easier win than going out and touching all of your network devices or touching all of your routers and switches.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, Sam, just because there are, when we talk about where segmentation is enforced, again, reaching that application is one thing where we can segment the network so that user doesn't even reach that application. But then we can also put the segmentation on the application using something like a Duo. So we allow network access to that IP address, but there's an authentication process that happens there to confirm if you're able to actually get into that application. So again, that just speaks to the multiple ways of enforcing it.
And there's also the discussion about logical to block as close as the user or as far as the user, as close as the application. So yeah, I've seen both, and it becomes different from the architectural perspective. So that's pretty cool that you guys talk about that.
Yeah, and then like you just mentioned, like blocking closer to the destination, that's like a concept of TrustSec. Like looking at security group tags, this source can talk to this destination, but the enforcement really happens closer to that destination where that destination tag is known. There are ways that you can use SXP to send the mappings to other devices to enforce the policies, but and most cases it's done at that destination where that tag lives.
Chad, these SGTs, these security group tags that we talk about when we hear ICE or Identity Services Engine. Hopefully we'll get to see a little bit of that tomorrow in the dashboard as well. So I know that's a big component there.
Sure, for sure. So that is the concept of TrustSec or group-based policy, where we're assigning tags to the traffic on the network. So there's a security group tag to an IP mapping. And in the concept of TrustSec, there are three main components: the classification, so the tagging of those of that traffic, can be done through authentication, can be done inline throughout the network, the propagation piece, so the passing those tags across the network, and then the enforcement. And that's where we're able to put in and enforce the segmentation according to the policy that's configured. So something that I can't wait to share you guys, just because it is so useful, especially if you have a Cisco network, to take advantage of a solution like that, referred to as adaptive policy on the Meraki side. So the concept's still the same. And this is also what makes Cisco special, being able to enforce end-to-end segmentation. TrustSec is something that is available, of course, in the campus branch networks. We've added it to our SASE solutions, secure access, all the way to the public cloud environments, the data centers within ACI. It's just a helpful way to have that common policy as well. So something uniform, the same user, no matter where they are, has the same experience, no matter where they're connected. For instance, if I come into a Cisco office in RTP, I should have the same experience as when I go to a Cisco office in Atlanta. And that's thanks to that common policy provided by our NAC ICE.
Yeah, those SGTs, and anybody listening who wants to explore segmentation, do yourself a favor and look into what TrustSec is and just get a basic understanding, because I kind of think of it as a more modernized way to segment, and I like that it's easier to think about for me, because, you know, I think of a tag following a packet around wherever it goes, however far it goes in the network. It still has that tag there, and I can take a look at that tag as I want to do some type of policy. All right, so we've talked about a lot, and we've also talked about various places where we can do the segmentation in the network, on the device, on the application, maybe on an access switch, maybe in a network device, on a firewall, on the edge. So segmentation, you know, I don't think there's like a super simple, easy button for it. So like, what does the journey to segmentation look like in terms of, am I wrong? Is there an easy button? Is it a thing that takes a month long to do? Is it a never ending journey? Where do you go to start with something like this?
It is, in fact, a journey. And it all starts with a good design, which, again, goes into, Sam mentioned, understanding one, the assets that are on your network, the applications, the resources that these users need access to, and taking that to the drawing board. I feel like a solid segmentation design will only set you up for success. But again, that comes with having the visibility and understanding of what is present within your network, instead of just jumping in and putting in rules. That's a quick and easy way to set yourself up for failure. It's a journey. It's a journey. And there are some people that are in the mature stages of that journey. So they have a solid macro segmentation design in place, but explore micro segmentation, as they do have these applications dispersed everywhere, whether it's in the private cloud, public cloud. Again, it goes back to visibility and tying that into everything that you're doing on the campus side, campus and branch side as well. To answer your question, it is a journey. And it all starts with the right design, in my opinion.
And you mentioned, don't set yourself up for failure, making it too strict right off the bat. Like, maybe start broad, get some this large group of things communicating with this large group of users, has or does not have access. Maybe not so granular to very right off the bat.
Exactly. And I learned that crawl, walk, run approach through
Yeah.
my days of working with the identity services engine. It is a beast of a solution. And it's one that you must take that crawl, walk, run approach to. And it'll only set you up for success.
One thing that I've seen over the years is that it is so easy, like when we talk about the identity services engine or ICE, it is so easy to make it super complex instead of, just looking at it from a high level perspective. So that's the flexibility of the product. You can make it as easy or as
Yeah.
complex as you want, but yeah, that's one thing to think about.
We talk about complexity being the enemy of security. Yeah, like I'm a big fan of just keeping it simple. And I think you can mess a lot up and you overcomplicate something like segmentation as well. Or if it is complex, that's okay. But like let's kind of conceal that or let some type of tool worry about the complexity and let us humans kind of view this in a simplistic way to make sure we're not cutting someone's access off or over allowing access.
Exactly.
Yep. All right. So I'm glad we have you back, Sam. I know you lost power for a minute there, so glad
Oh
to
yeah. Sorry about that. The Grinch was trying to get me, but
Yeah, you can't
we're
keep
dealing with some
Santa away for too long. Yeah.
dealing with some storms here in North Carolina, so
Yeah.
rainy days.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, usually it's Andres down in Miami dealing with high wind and storms and all that. And he's living the good life right now. Like, what is it? 80 degrees down there and
It's
while we're
70
freezing up
something,
here.
70
70.
something sunny,
Must
no
be
clouds.
nice.
And here
Must
in
be
true North
nice.
Carolina fashion, I mean, it's freezing one day and then next day is 67 degrees. So yeah, it's a roller coaster here.
That's crazy. All right, guys. So I do have the next question, and this one is I guess what everybody's waiting to hear from the session is and when we have the pros here, so what are the secret tips or things that you guys know to make this easy to start that segmentation conversation inside of the company? Like, what do you see it's the best way or the best route to start thinking about it?
Yeah, I think the main thing is, trying to understand your security policy, really knowing the organization's appetite for risk and the value of all your assets. So the visibility part is going to be key. Making sure you can, have those dynamic policies. And then also another, a key tip is, right, you don't have to turn everything on in enforcement mode from the start. So you don't want to break anything. So you definitely want to start broad and then, start adding granular policies later. Like if you want to quarantine a device or, put them on a quarantine VLAN. So monitor mode is going to be, crucial in helping you understand the impact of your policies before you roll them out.
100%. That is a great pro tip right there. Monitoring mode, man. When you go and just toggle that switch and start blocking things, as network administrators, get ready for some calls. Some unhappy end users. So that is a great tip, and I second that.
What about
I
making
love.
changes on Friday at 5 p.m.?
Oh yeah.
Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
No,
Setting yourself up.
I love the I think every tool for that's a segmentation tool should have a visibility mode or a discovery monitoring mode without enforcement. So great pro tip on that one.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of that. That's a good one. I was trying to think of a second one, but that's one that I've seen burn our customers in the past, just not even thinking about it and clicking on something, changing the default rule, then next thing you know, you lose access. So yeah,
Can
had to piggyback on that one.
You guys are very familiar with ICE and Duo. Can you do something like that on one of those tools where we
You
have them
can.
to discovery only without enforcement mode?
You can. So and what I was mentioning with TrustSec, where you have that matrix, that there is a monitoring mode in that. So you can get an understanding of what will be blocked, what will be allowed before you actually put it in place. Same thing with authentication. When you're putting that on switch ports, there's a monitoring mode, closed mode, open mode, where you can make sure that switch port is getting the access it needs based on that user, based on that endpoint, without actually impacting the traffic. So it's a good starting place to again keep your users happy, but also help you fine tune your security policy.
Yeah, it's the same for Duo as well. So for certain applications, as you're rolling it out, you can allow access without the 2FA. Just for visibility, and then in some cases, if you're doing things like trusted endpoints, where you want to look at another system to verify that this device is something that you know about or is within your MDM, right? You can get that visibility and monitor mode first. Understand what types of devices are even trying to connect to your apps. And then once you have that knowledge, then you can enforce, right? You don't want to start blocking first.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I love tools like that. I can confidently and safely roll out. Chad, you mentioned those. No one wants those calls, those help desk tickets, those ones that we got in TAC all the time.
Right. Yeah. That was especially on a Friday, like Andre said.
Now, guys, tomorrow when we're seeing, the live dashboards, let's talk a little bit about the role Cisco has in segmentation. We've been talking about ICE. We've been talking about Duo. On top of my mind, I'm thinking like multi-cloud defense as well. Tell us a little bit about Cisco and the role that Cisco plays in segmentation.
And I can jump in. So like you mentioned, I mean, there are a lot of products that help make up our entire segmentation vision and framework, and it starts with our NAC ICE being that core of Cisco segmentation, having that unified or common policy across the board, but then the way that solution ties into the rest of the security stack, ties into the firewalls, it ties into the endpoint. I mentioned it ties into SASE, into the data center, to do things like rapid threat containment. Going back to the proactive versus reactive side and automating things, ICE has a feature called rapid threat containment, to where we're using API calls to from other security solutions to take action. So the firewall sees something suspicious, let ICE know so we can take action at the access layer of the network. Something happens in your EDR solution, you're using secure endpoint. Endpoint will make your firewall aware of it. Endpoint will make ICE aware of this activity and automate containment, automate quarantining. So there are a number of products that make that possible. And when you integrate those, that's what it makes your life easier when it comes to implementing segmentation. So with ICE, secure firewall, secure endpoint, multi-cloud defense, secure access, can all make use of the common policy to enforce segmentation, on the proactive as well as on the reactive side.
Yep. And, also for the data center and the cloud, Cisco also has a couple different solutions where we can offer a fabric. So being able to integrate the network with those applications is key, and something a lot of the competition doesn't really offer, right? So we can ensure that it's an end-to-end segmentation policy. But for certain products like multi-cloud defense, we have a visibility, so we can pull in all of the NSGs or the security groups or any of the rules you have in your cloud environments before we start doing any enforcement, so letting you know what's out there. And then also we have secure workload, which allows you to do that application micro segmentation, and the workload is going to have multiple enforcement points, and we'll be able to gather information on the vulnerability of, you know, the types of dependencies on the application, all of the communication between the different components of the overall app. All of that dependency is going to be automated as well. And then we can also show you what would have happened if we turned this on in enforcement mode, in workload also. And then multi-cloud defense, we can automate that east-west, so some of that lateral traffic through zones in the cloud. In addition to everything Chad said, but that's from the data center and the cloud side.
Multi-cloud defense is becoming one of my favorite products.
Everything
up, getting the visibility, especially if you're in the different cloud environments, you know, you don't have to be proficient in Azure or AWS to deploy the solution out and have it tie into everything else you're doing on premises. So I love what we've done with that product.
Like taking something that no one wants to deal with, cloud complexity segmentation, confusing, where do I start? And then like completely making this as simple as it could be. Yeah, I could not agree more.
I think
the last thing. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say something silly that's making a lot of us look like we know what we're doing in cloud.
Yeah, don't be fooled, anybody.
Yeah, the last thing I'll mention is the Cisco Secure Access. So Secure Access, we're able to use resource connectors. So we can hide applications for hybrid workers. So you have to come through our stack to even be exposed to that application. And then we also have that within Duo as well with the reverse proxy. But, you know, that's going to limit the exposure to the app. And then you can also add posture and like device identity policies on top of that traffic.
That's a good call about the resource connectors and secure access, and then the DNG and Duo. Yeah, because that's a good part of segmentation. When you're giving access just through an application, you don't have that lateral movement of like the IP based lateral movement that like a traditional remote access VPN would give you. So yeah, good fundamental approach there. So I will say this. I think a lot of times, you know, us technical people, we're just in the dashboards and technical details. But I do say it's pretty awesome, Cisco, with the recent awards with Gartner and Forrester for both zero trust and leaders in micro segmentation, including enterprise firewall. So I'm glad to see segmentation as a primary focus of Cisco there, and kind of shows through those awards there.
For sure.
And it's nice to see so many products that we create integrating together. So
yeah,
think about SGT's Trusic, how they're expanding to other products. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
All right. Even non-Cisco. I mean, you think about like Palo firewalls can make use of Trusic tags. So the development, the evolution of Cisco security is, we're seeing some success now. Because if a security stack is integrated, I mean, there's a good chance that you will have an effective security policy.
Yeah, that's a great call out. All right.
So
Mike,
I know,
what do you think?
Man, let's do it. The moment we've all been waiting for.
All right. So for today, we have a rapid fire Christmas questions. And I don't know how do we want to do this, but I'm going to shoot the first one. Maybe all of us want to answer it. But what is your favorite Christmas movie? And before anybody take it from me, I'm going to say Home Alone.
Oh, good one. One or two?
One.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, one's good.
What about you, Chad?
I will have to go with Santa Claus. Santa Claus with Tim Allen. That is probably one of my favorite Christmas movies. You know, Santa falls off the roof. He puts on the Santa suit, becomes Santa Claus. That was Tim Allen, right?
Yeah, that's Tim Allen.
So yeah, that's up there. At least my top three. It might be my favorite. Home Alone is up there for sure.
Yeah, what about you, Sam? I have to say Yeah, I'll have to say the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, the
I
Klingon
just like the
Klingons, yes.
design, like the
So cool.
it's cool, like how, the different
Gosh.
characters and yeah, just how they designed the movie. It's great.
You know, I was gonna say National Lampoon's Christmas with Chevy Chase, but I think I'm actually with Chad. Edges it out the Rudolph with the claymation and how cool that uniqueness is there. But man, that's tough to beat that National Lampoon's Chevy Chase. He also falls off the roof. He's got all those Christmas lights he's trying to hang up.
What about Die
So,
Hard?
Die Hard. Oh man, that's good. You know, I've seen, have
Some
you guys seen any
classics.
like of the more like the deeper side of Christmas, like the scary Santa Claus movies? I saw one last year where Santa Claus has got to like fend off these people robbing this house, and he's got
Oh no, I
it's
have
all
not.
kinds of
I haven't seen
crazy
that. I
stuff.
haven't seen that either. I haven't
Maybe
seen that. It's like the
another
Grinch is up
I've
there too, as a classic.
told.
Introduce my daughters to the Grinch, and we watched the real movie, and I think that might have scared them a little bit. Just seeing like the characters, like the real people. But yeah, the Grinch has been on repeat in my house.
Christmas Story with the Red Ryder BB gun. Man, that's so
Oh
awesome.
yes, yeah, classic.
All right, I have another one. We have a few here in this on the list, but I'm gonna pick another one that probably be controversial or not. What about Christmas tree? Do you prefer fake Christmas tree or a real Christmas tree? I
Oh,
promise you
fake.
won't get canceled if you choose either or.
You said fake
Yeah, I just
immediately.
think fake. It's just easier, and then yeah, just not dealing with like bugs and critters and stuff like that. I don't know. I've never had a real Christmas tree, so we've always done fake. So.
And
I don't know.
I've
Go
done
ahead.
the real one, and the smell is really nice.
So nice.
Yeah,
I'm missing out.
I've always had a real tree. Definitely considered the fake tree just for ease of setting it up, taking it apart. There's a lot that comes with the fake or with the real tree. Of course, I mean, you mentioned bugs. Like, I usually don't have the bugs issue, but when you bring in the Christmas tree and you got sap all over your hands, you got to keep it watered. But I think it's part of like our my family tradition too, just like going out, picking the perfect tree. Putting it on the car, taking it off, and like to share those experiences with my daughter is something that will probably keep me doing the real tree. But there have been those years where I'm like, why don't we just go with the fake tree? But then it's like, what about the smells? Like you get to come downstairs, you can smell the Christmas tree. But I'm a real tree guy.
I prefer the real tree. We've had a fake one for the past couple of years. But yeah, man, nothing beats for me that real one with the real smell. And I have to go back to the National Lampoon's Chevy Chase Christmas. Like they do that. They go out in the field and cut down that. They try to cut down the tree, but they forgot the saw, so they just rip it out from the roots and put it on the car and get home that way. Oh, that's awesome. A lot of fun season.
Nice.
Well.
All right, I have the last one, and this one's gonna be your favorite holiday tradition. So I'll get started with you, Chad.
Favorite holiday tradition is just getting together with my family. I have a huge family. I have tons of cousins, aunts and uncles, and we usually get together at my house, my parents' house. So I mean it's madness. A ton of food, a bunch of kids running around, everyone's laughing, having a good time, playing games. So I would say just that family time is that's all I know when it comes to Christmas time. So I would say that's my favorite tradition, just getting the extended family together.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll say like the community outreach. So always giving back during the holidays. It's a tough time for people who are at need, and we're blessed with our job and the things we do for a living. So just getting together with family, getting together with friends to do some type of give back, whether it's an angel tree or donating gifts. That brings a lot of joy to me and my family during the holidays. So definitely say that's my favorite part of the year.
That's
Nice. What
awesome. about
awesome.
you, Mike?
Man, I could not agree more with both of those, family and the giving. My favorite thing is we do this like white Have you guys done the white elephant thing where everybody gets one gift and you go around in the circle? That's really fun to see what everyone's going to bring. I do that with my family and, you know, just to see with what everybody was thinking about in terms of bringing their present. And, you know, you don't know what you're going to end up with. It's pretty cool.
That's nice.
About you, Andres?
Yeah,
in my house, and I will say in every Latin house, we don't open the presents on the 25th. We wait until midnight to open the presents.
Midnight on the 24th.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve night. Okay.
Nice.
So we usually have, the funny thing is that we have the dinner, and then probably at 6, 7 p.m., everybody just goes crazy, starts running around, but everybody's waiting until 12. And if you have kids and the presents are a bunch of things that they can use and they can, you know, go outside and mess around, yeah, you probably go to bed at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., just because of that.
I would have loved that as a kid, like to be able to open my presents as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Stay up late. Yeah.
Yeah. Stay up late. That's awesome.
Oh, man. That's
that's what we do. That's what we do. All right, Mike, I give it back to you, I guess, for some closing thoughts.
It's been a great show. Chad, Sam, how about just some closing thoughts from you guys over you? Maybe Sam, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, so as we mentioned, there are a number of ways to do segmentation. Segmentation is really critical, right? You never know when someone's going to penetrate your network. So you definitely have to assume that it's going to happen. So when it does happen, you know, how do you limit the blast radius? So that goes hand in hand with everything we talked about today. Some of the techniques are easier. Some take more planning. But I'll definitely say design is key. Visibility is key. And Cisco has been doing this for years. So we can definitely help you out with that journey and, you know, make sure you have some support while you think about segmentation and how you can plan to achieve it.
So I'll piggyback on that, and segmentation is critical, it's key, super important, and all of us, we're all resources. So for those of you listening, we are more than happy to talk things through with you, help you with design in any way that we can. Cisco has a ton of solutions to help you accomplish your segmentation goals, and that's where we come in to kind of help you put that into action. So please don't hesitate to reach out and have those conversations. Something that I always end calls with, whether I'm doing demos on other solutions or ICE talking segmentation, is, hey, if anything comes up, I'm happy to talk things through with you, just because that is a part of that journey, is making sure you have the plan and design in place to successfully segment your network.
Yeah. And I know you guys mean it too, and that's true. I've seen you guys throughout the years helping customers out before, during, throughout, and after their segmentation is, you know, like you said, the journey of it. I like starting off with those concepts. We always hear terms like macro and micro segmentation, kind of differentiating between those. The evolution was pretty cool. You guys touched on how segmentation now is in the cloud, and there's concepts people haven't really thought about traditionally about how segmentation has evolved over the past 10 years. It has proactive and reactive concepts and benefits and being enforced at different places. Same talk about at the application level. Chad, you were talking about using ICE to segment at the port level. So, you know, and there's firewall segmentation and segmentation on the endpoint itself, and of course in the cloud.
And I do want to go
for the docs.
No problem. And I did want to jump in and just say thank you guys for having me again. It's always a pleasure to get on it and talk security with you guys, even though we do it on a daily basis. Every time we do it, I love it. So definitely want to thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, I love talking with you guys. Definitely see you guys as friends and coworkers. So, appreciate talking security with you. Anytime you want to invite me again, just let me know.
Thank you guys so much. And likewise, it's pretty special that we do get to work together, and I appreciate you guys being on the show. Wearing the Santa hats, amazing. And best part about it, Andres, we'll see these guys tomorrow at the demo day.
Yeah, demo day tomorrow. So we'll work for you again. We'll do this again tomorrow, and it's always a pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show on Security in 45 today. And yeah, tune in to see all this in action. We'll see the ICE dashboard, the Duo dashboard. Who knows what else we'll see? Who knows if we'll be wearing these Santa hats or something else? Or if you're listening in through Apple Podcasts, you have no idea what we're talking about. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Be safe, stay secure.
Have a good one.
See ya.